Guys, we are starting a brand new series today. Like Suzanne said, it's called Cultivate. One of the dangers of having a church like we are, that's very, very active and very mission oriented and very, very, very service oriented, is that we can start thinking that we are an activities club, I guess, without any connection with God. One of the things that I have found is there needs to be a balance between personal devotion, connecting with God, and the action that we have as a church in the world. Many churches are out of balance. Excuse me. Lots of churches are very much into the action, serving the poor, soup kitchens, fostering, missions, things like that. And other churches over here are very much into prayer and study and fasting and everything. And many churches, usually dependent on the guy leading, the pastor, the leaders, will tend towards one or the other. And we at Catalyst, we strive to have a balance of that. We believe that we must be connected deeply with God. We also, through that connection, must be serving this world. And so this series is about cultivating our relationship with God so that we can go out and continue to accomplish the mission that we have as a church. So the main thing today in Cultivate, we're talking about study. The main thing is the statement of Jesus that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If when we know the truth of God's word, we will be set free. That's the main thing. In John 8, 31 through 32, Jesus says this to the Jews who believed in him. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, most of us, unfortunately, are running on empty. Most of us are running on empty. I remember I graduated seminary 19 years ago, and I was going to be the next Billy Graham. Actually, Billy Graham was an amateur compared to what I was going to do. In my first church, a church plant in Alabama, where I was a worship leader and youth minister, I was going to start the next great awakening, okay? Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that's nothing compared to what Kibler's going to do down in Alabama. America was going to turn its back on sin and return to God. It was all going to start with my youth ministry. That's what I thought. Well, after about 2 months, our youth group had doubled. It had grown from 2 kids to 4 kids. Yeah, and two of those, yes, and two of those kids were the pastor's kids, and they had to be there. So, and then another family with 2 kids had joined the church. And the next month, we doubled again. Yeah, a family with 4 kids joined the church. And then we quit growing. Guys, I taught my heart out. I planned great activities and trips and messages and everything. So, I mean, and after about 6 months, I had nothing left. I was empty. I was already burned out. 6 months into my first ministry. I'd only been in ministry 6 months and I was already done. And the reason is because God allowed me to burn out, because he knew that I could not continue the way that I was going. He knew that I must learn to connect deeply with him in order to continue. Many times, guys, the Christian life is about being renewed. It's about being connected deeply with God. It's about allowing his spirit to refresh us and renew us daily. It's about surrender and being still, something that we don't like to do, and allowing ourselves to be shaped and formed and changed by God's presence in our lives. One of the biggest ways God does that is through his word, through study. Everybody say study. The Bible, the word of God, and many of us, to our own shame, own many copies of the Bible, even have it downloaded on our iPads and smartphones, and yet we never study. And because of that, we're always running on empty. Guys, we approach the Word of God in study. That's what we're talking about today. We approach the Word of God in study for one reason, and that is to change. Everybody say change. To change, that's it. James 1:22-25 says this, do not merely listen to the Word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So how many of you guys woke up this morning and looked into a mirror? I did. I looked into the mirror, all right? Now, Did you take a look at the mirror and see your bedhead and see your shirt on inside out and see your pants on backwards and see your mismatched socks and say, hey, looks good, and then leave? Some of you did, I can tell. I'm looking at you right now. All right? Well, you didn't do that. No, you look in the mirror to change. You see what you look like, and you use that to change. You use that, you comb your hair, excuse me. You change, you put your shirt on right side out. You get matching socks, which is still a struggle for me. You do that. But guys, unfortunately, this is the spiritual state of many people in America. We look into the Word of God, and we don't do what it says. We're like that person that looks in the mirror and forgets what we look like. We approach the Word of God to change, just like we approach a mirror to change. And this is something I want you guys to write down. What we study is what we become. You want to know why you are the way you are? Look at what you've been studying. Look at what you've been allowing into your mind. Look at what you've been immersing yourself in. You want to know why you react the way you react? Look at what you're immersing yourself in. You want to know why you're astounded at the speech that comes out of your mouth? Look at what you're studying. Look at what you're immersing yourself in. You want to know why you react to certain things the way they do? Look at what you've immersed yourself in. What we study is what we become. Richard Foster, in his brilliant book, Celebration of Discipline, wrote this. See if this applies to anyone. Many Christians remain in bondage to fears and anxiety simply because they do not avail themselves to the discipline of study. They may be faithful in church attendance and earnest in fulfilling their religious duties, and still they're not changed. They may sing with gusto, pray in the Spirit, live as obediently as they know, even receive divine revelations and visions, yet the tenor of their lives remains unchanged. Why? Because they've never taken up one of the central ways God uses to change us, study. Jesus made it unmistakably clear that the knowledge of the truth shall set us free. And 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Remember, the purpose of scripture is not to amass knowledge. It's not to amass knowledge. It is to move you into God's path for you. It is to train your mind for the Christian life. What we study is what we become, people. What we immerse our minds in, that's what we become. All right? What we seek out, and what we study, what is repeatedly entering into our mind is what we become. Now, I am a child of the 80s. We have any children of the 80s in here? Grew up in the 80s? Excellent. Yes. We grew up with great bands like Guns N' Roses, White Snake, Poison, Winger, Bon Jovi, Striper, yeah, Striper, yeah, it's great stuff, Van Halen, Poison, and some of you folks are like, I hate those bands. I see a couple hands up here. Yeah, and all the younger folks were like, I have never heard of any of these, you know, this is, but, you know, I even got into some Run DMC, you know, some Houdini, some LL Cool J, yeah. And all you guys that grew up in the 80s, now you've got a song stuck in your head. I know you do. Well, my parents didn't like me listening to that stuff. My dad had a running commentary on what he thought MTV was. Okay, it was always interesting. And I told them repeatedly, this doesn't affect me. My entire generation told our parents, we did not get affected by this. So this stuff doesn't affect us. In the meantime, my generation adopted every value and every moral or lack of morals in the music of the time. All the while saying it didn't affect us. Who said this? Who said this quote? Let me write the music of a nation and I will determine its morals. Anyone know who said that? That was Adolf Hitler. That was his work among the Hitler Youth. What you immerse your mind is what you become. It does affect you. I want you to take a look at what you believe and what you hold dear. This is time for you to reflect right now. I want you to think about what you believe and what you hold dear. What you believe, what you would die for, what you would what you make your decisions about. If that is shaped more by mass media, by Hollywood, social media, music, than it is by the Word of God, then you've become what you've studied. Parents, if your children's values are more in line with what you see on TV than what you read in the Word of God, then they've become what they've studied. When we take seriously the spiritual discipline of study, some amazing changes happen within us. Some amazing things happen within us when we immerse our minds in the study of God's Word. The first thing that happens, study of God's Word aligns our lives with God's purposes. I don't know if you know this or not, but you are not an accident. You are not here by mistake. You are here by design, and you have a purpose. It's not until we begin to seriously study the Word of God we find out how far off from that purpose we really are as people. All right, at this stage of life, I'm busier now than I've ever been. I'm 44 years old, and I have more responsibilities and more demands on my time than at any other time in the last 44 years. I can remember when I was in college, I thought I was busy. Man, I just laugh at my attitude back then. See if any of this sounds familiar to you guys who are around my age. I work full-time, have responsibilities as a husband. Have three children to raise, soccer matches, soccer practice, tennis matches. I coach 7 months out of the year, soccer, community group Wednesday night. Seems like there's always some kind of repair or upkeep that has to happen. Our AC unit in the attic leaked and destroyed the drywall and in the ceiling of my son's house. I had to fix that this past weekend. I had to replace a high-pressure line off the power steering pump on my daughter's car, and my car needs a radiator replaced. Yard needs to be mowed. Cars need to be washed. Garage needs to be cleaned out. Do I need to go on? This is why I have to study God's Word, y'all. Because without it, I would lose perspective. I would think that my life's purpose truly is soccer tournaments and paying bills. Because we're creatures of the immediate, whatever is constantly in front of us is what we orient our life around. All the busyness going on, my true life purpose would be lost without the study of God's Word. I'm not here to ensure that my kids play sports. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to plan activity after activity. I'm not here to be the busiest and most successful version of myself. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to fulfill God's purpose for me. That's it and that's all. People who don't have regular, consistent study of God's Word are in danger of believing. Get this, they're in danger of believing that life's purpose is to accumulate things, to be comfortable, to be successful, to be the busiest version of themselves. How tragic. Nothing wrong with being successful. I want to be successful. I really do. It's just not, that's not why I'm here. And you're not here for that either. Nothing wrong with playing sports. I love sports. It's just that's not why I'm here. God didn't put together 23 chromosomes for my mom and 23 chromosomes of my dad and knit me together and bring me into this world so I can make as much money as possible, as comfortable as possible. That's not why we're here. He created me for intimacy with Him. He created me to be in close fellowship with Him, to enjoy His glory, to enjoy His power and might, to enjoy His love. He created me to bring as many people to that intimacy with Him as possible. He created me with a purpose that's lost in the daily grind, the idolatry that shouts us from every street corner and every advertisement. See, when we study the Word of God, we find out what Mark 12:28 says. Mark 12:28 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what we read in the Word of God. And when you study that and that begins to consume your mind, that begins to influence your mind, you begin asking the hard questions like this. Mark 12:28, is this us? Is this what our lives are centered around? Are our lives truly centered around loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving our neighbors as ourselves? You know, is this a criteria you use when deciding to do something? Is this the loving thing? Would this shout out to the world my love for God? Is this the acid test of whether or not you take a job or decide on a career? Guys, this is where the rubber meets the road. Is this what influences every decision, every action, every thought in your mind? Without study, we don't even consider this, not even on the radar. A couple months ago, a study came out that just shocked me, people, just really shocked me. And I'm glad to say that I don't think that this applies to this church. But it said that 51% of Christians, 51%, had never even heard of the Great Commission. Never even heard of it. Did not even know that they were supposed to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded. 51%, that's more than half of the body of Christ, had never heard of the Great Commission. Why? Well, nothing shows how we've neglected the discipline of study than that. You can't even read the Bible without coming across the Great Commission. It's kind of like, you know, trying to read the Bible and not hearing about the Great Commission is like being a UK fan and never having heard of Rupp Arena. You know, yeah, I'm a UK fan. Where do they play? I don't know. Seriously, that's what it means to be a Christian and never heard of the Great Commission. That is our marching orders. That is the central thing that Jesus said to do. And yet, so many of us don't even know about it. This is Jesus' commissioning of his church and his people to share the faith with our lost friends and our neighbors and to take his gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what we as a church have been commanded to do. And when we as a church don't study the Word of God, we get so far off of the purpose that he has created us for. And we wonder why the church is where it is. Only through the study of God's Word do you realize the purpose that God has for you. But even more powerful than that, guys. Study of God's Word keeps you in God's hands. I want you to listen. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17 says this, very famous passage of the Bible. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. About four weeks ago, guys, I was riding my motorcycle with a good friend, and I had a wreck. Needless to say, motorcycle wrecks can be very serious. Very, very serious, and people can be badly hurt or killed in them. I was very fortunate only to have a little bit of road rash here, and the thing that was really hurt was my pride, quite honestly. Because once everybody finds out you're okay, they just ride you mercilessly, and that has definitely happened. However, guys, I'm okay only because of one thing. I was wearing protective gear. I had on a closed helmet with face shield, padded jacket, padded pants, padded gloves, riding boots. There was not a single square inch of me that was not covered in protective gear. And had I not had, especially, the helmet on. Here's my helmet. You can see. You guys can see what my helmet looks like. Had I not had the helmet on, let's just say my face would look a lot different. My wife said it probably would have improved you. But there's a well-known saying, when you ride motorcycles, dress for the slide, not for the ride. In other words, be prepared. When you ride, sooner or later, slide's going to happen. Be prepared for it. Because I was wearing my protective gear, I'm okay. I got some road rash, like I said, on my forearm. Quite honestly, I've had worse from skateboarding and a lot worse from playing soccer. Back to the helmet. God showed me something with this. He tells us to put on his armor, because we can get very hurt without it. I hate to imagine what my body would look like without having my armor on. However, what do our souls look like when we go through life without armor on? I would imagine many of our souls are very, very wounded. Maybe even broken. Not because of the attacks. Because everyone is attacked. The wreck is going to happen. Everyone is tempted. Everyone has terrible things happen to them in this life. Everyone wrecks from time to time spiritually. We sin. We fall short. We mess up. We do things that we know better than. Satan attacks our families. He tries to get at us through our children or our spouse or through our parents, or he gets at us through however he can. He tries to get to us. The difference isn't in the attack, people. The difference is in the armor you wear. Are you prepared for the attacks? Parents, are your children prepared for the attacks? Are they wearing their armor? Is your head protected with the helmet of salvation? Knowing that you are saved and that no one can snatch you out of God's hand, do you really wear that like this? Like this helmet? knowing that you're saved, knowing that Jesus Christ has conquered death, that his sacrificial death on the cross has saved you for eternity, and no one can take you out of God's hand. Do you know that? That becomes a helmet that protects you against every attack around you. Or are you, like so many, open to every attack? I see people riding motorcycles without any protective gear on. We were coming back from Hilton Head on Friday, and there was a guy that passed us up going at least 100 miles an hour wearing a t-shirt and shorts. These are known as squids. Super quick, underdressed, imminently dead. They're also known as organ donors. Are you a Christian squid? You a Christian organ donor? Riding down without any gear, and when the wreck happens, you're done? Possibly so, many of us are. And we're one temptation, one attack, one setback from being devastated spiritually. Probably the greatest spiritual attack that ever hit me and my wife, the biggest wreck, the biggest motorcycle wreck spiritually happened to me and my wife in 2004 when we had to say goodbye to our third child when he died. That about did me in. I was a minister. I was close to walking away from the ministry, close to walking away from the Christian faith because I just didn't think I could do it anymore. It was a body blow. It almost took me out. However, my wife and I both had on our armor. We had our helmet of salvation on. And we had the knowledge of the truth that our son would be in heaven, that this earth is temporary, that what Jesus has planned for us after we die is so much greater than anything you could ever imagine on this earth. That we wore that like a helmet, and that protected us from the attacks. We had our hearts protected by the knowledge that we had done the right things and taken the right actions. See, guys, whenever I get tempted to despair, when I get tempted to just throw in the towel, to doubt, God's word protects me. For example, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And when I sense an attack on my mind, or I start to get discouraged, or start to despair, I realize that God tells me to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And when you do that, I control my thoughts, not the other way around. I control my thoughts. They don't control me. That's what God's word says. It's like a helmet protecting you. I take those thoughts captive. I make them obedient to Christ, and therefore they do not rule over me, determine my mood, or determine my life. But if you don't have that study, if you don't have that helmet on, you are at the mercy of any attack Satan throws at you. Attacks will happen. Wrecks will happen. It's a guarantee. The only question is, who's going to absorb the attack? It's either going to be your head or your helmet. When the attack comes, when the wreck happens, either you're going to absorb it or your armor is going to absorb it. You know, I have this really, I don't know, this kind of dream. I was thinking about this the other day, that maybe one of these days when I get to heaven, I can't see my armor right now, but maybe when I get to heaven, that armor will be visible, and I'll take off the helmet, and I'll see how really dented and beat up and it really is from all the times Satan tried to attack my mind, and Jesus' promise of salvation protected me from it. I wonder what my armor's going to look like, and I realized that not only does Jesus take your sins, he takes the attack. Now, I got scratched up, no doubt. I had scratches there and scratches there and scratches there, okay? And when the wreck happens, you won't get out unscathed. You won't. You'll be bruised up and maybe scraped up a little bit. May last a couple weeks, maybe a month, whatever. But you'll be okay. God's armor is very, very good at warding off the attacks. But the difference is, you will either absorb the attack or Jesus will. That's why we study. That's why we train our minds. That's why we immerse ourselves in the truth, so that when the attack comes, our helmets look like this. and our souls don't. John Wesley said this. He said, I'm a creature of a day. I'm a spirit come from God and returning to God. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God himself has condescended to teach me the way. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God. Let me be a man of one book. And my prayer for this church, that we would be a church of one book, the Word of God. That we would immerse ourselves in it. That we would live by it. That we would determine right and wrong by it. That we would determine the course of our lives by it. That we would live out its principles every single day and deeply connect with God so that we serve him out of his strength and not out of ours. Somebody said, with the study of the Word of God, without the study of the Word of God, you can do your best, but with the study of God's Word, you can do his best. And people say, well, that sounds great, but I don't know where to start. Bible's confusing. What do I do? Well, one of the greatest tools I've ever seen is available to you right now. It's for free. It's the YouVersion Bible app. I use it all the time. It has multiple plans for free. If you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, you can get it at the app store on your smartphone, your tablet. It has all kinds of devotional reading, and you have it with you wherever you go. I'm currently doing the As It Happened, going straight through the Bible. Probably done this about 20 times since 1995, the whole Bible in a year. It's a big plan. May not be the best one to start off. Start off with a 7-day one or a 4-day one, a devotional topic. But whatever it is, get into the Word of God. Go investigate it. Jesus said this in John 8:32, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want to invite Shane and Emily to come on back up. If you have never, ever begun study of the Word of God, you are missing out. I implore you to wear the Word of God like armor, because it is the difference spiritually between life and death. Just remember, the wreck's gonna happen. Are you wearing your armor? If you are, you'll be all right. If not, it could be very bad. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Your Word is such a gift to us, such an amazing thing you've given us. Lord, put within us a passion for your Word, for the study of your Word. And Lord, let it begin to mold and shape us. Lord, let us throw away the influences that have shaped our views of right and wrong, that shaped what we believe. Let's throw those away and become people of one book. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.